I hope and I pray that I'll shorten it up as much as I can. Today I want to talk about the giants in our lives. And one of those is standing behind this pulpit. So I had quite a bit prepared for you, but I want to go to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And I'm going to probably leave half the sermon out, but anyway, I want to go to the 26th verse. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You know, one of my giants in my life is standing behind this pulpit. I fear it, which I shouldn't, but I do. But yet David had an understanding that he feared nothing. He was a young man. Let's read the 32nd and 33rd verse, just over the page here. "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." One of those fearful things. But you see, David didn't fear. Let's go down 37 through 39 through 40. "David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivereth me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put his helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed with him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in his shepherd's bags, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew nigh to the Philistine." You know that armor that Saul gave him was man's protection. It wasn't God's. He carry all that. What would it be of any use to him? Be more of a burden, and he knew that. We always like to think of man's protection, that it will save us. It doesn't. But David had an understanding that even King Saul didn't have. It wasn't the protection of man. And you think it is just a coincidence of what slew Goliath? That it was a stone? You see, the giants in our lives, and we have many of them. I myself have many also. And what I was going to tell you about was the things of my job. But yet, God gave me the desires of my heart. And so why should I not believe him, just as David was? Let's go to and those giants are formidable in our lives. Let's go to the 11th verse of that same chapter. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. All of Israel. This guy was huge. This guy was huge. So why was it that David, just a small youth, didn't seem to care about that? In the Book of Mormon, there is another example of the youth. Page 513. Not just once. 53rd verse of Alma 26. And now I say unto you, my beloved brethren, Moroni, that never had I seen so great courage, nay, not amongst all the Nephites. For as it had ever called them my sons, for they were all of them very young, even so they said unto me, Father, behold, our God is with us, and he will not suffer that we shall fall. Then let us go forth. We would not slay our brethren if they would let us alone. Therefore let us go, lest they should overpower the army of Antipas. Now they never had fought, yet they did not fear death, and they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mothers, saying, We do not doubt, our mothers knew. I believe David was the same way. But all of Israel wasn't. Let's go that same chapter 66 through 77. But behold, to my great joy, and this was after the battle, there was not one soul of them fallen to the earth. Yea, and they had fought as if the strength of God. Yea, never were men known to have fought with such miraculous strength, and with such mighty power did they fall upon the Lamanites, that they did frighten them. And for this cause did the Lamanites deliver themselves up as prisoners of war. This didn't just happen once. It happened twice. You know, I don't have much time.
If you have a message to give us, please give the entire message. Please don't look at the clock. I'm going to be here as long as it takes for you to give it.
I know, but there's young children and stuff here, and there's people that are diabetics and stuff too, and I understand that. But the thing is, what I want to convey to you more than anything else is that we shouldn't be afraid of anything. That that God has given us the ability to overcome these giants in our lives, to change our lives by believing in Him, by being that peculiar people. By the mercy that He has for us. Let's go to James, the first chapter. Fifth through seven. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you aren't committed, you won't receive it anyway. And I find myself asking my God to do things for me, and when He does it, being afraid. And I know that's hard for you to understand, but the Lord has been pouring out His Spirit upon me in many different instances. Whether it be at my job, I came off working 12 hours. I have been allowed the opportunity to teach a Bible study for my neighbors that I didn't start, my neighbors go to the Baptist church and stuff, and have been allowed the opportunity to teach these people. And incredible things are happening in my life. And I prayed that my God would give me some time off, that I could do a good job for these people. And then when He gave it to me, I felt that there was something that I was missing. And so He said to me yesterday, I wasn't supposed to work. I went to work. And they'd given me some stuff from work. I like my stuff. And they asked me to stay and work. Had plans for the day. I worked 12 and a half hours. Supposed to work 14 and a half. Hadn't prepared anything. Knew what I wanted to say. The Lord said to me, He says, give you what you want. Give you what you want. And it was those fears that I had. Being out of work for 6 months and, you know, a little job here and a little job there. Make hay when the sun shines. Instead of truly believing my God. So I had to repent. Knew exactly what He was doing. We'd survive just fine. One of those fears. Hebrews, the third chapter, 12th verse. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. How do you think David would have fared against Goliath? We tell that story all the time. If he didn't believe in the abilities that God had given him. Let's go back to James, the second chapter, 23rd verse. And the scripture saith, the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Did you think that he believed God or believed in God? He believed God. That meant when he did something wrong, he knew that he needed to repent. Same thing for myself. I knew that what I had asked for wasn't what I had asked for before. I needed that time to do his work. Like Abraham. Like David with the 2,000 or the 2,000 young men. And I hear a lot of people, they say, all I have to do is believe in God. All I have to do is believe in God. Nineteenth verse of that same chapter. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They believe in God. You think they keep the commandments of God? You see, there's a difference. There truly is a great difference. And I found it out for myself because the incredible blessings that he's poured out upon me in the things that I do, the people that I talk to, that I have to do a better job myself. See, the adversary wants you to believe a lie. Oh, you don't have to be that good about it. Grace will cover you. If you look through Samuel and even 2 Samuel, David tried to be truthful about everything that he did. Even when Saul was hunting him, that God had put him in his hand several times. And he wouldn't take his life. It says that he behaved himself wisely, even when he was a young man. That he behaved himself wisely. And made his image. But see, Saul, King Saul, he believed in the protection of man. Was the physical thing. The armor, the nice security. You know, our jobs, you think that they're our way of supporting our lifestyles, everything that we look at. Most of it is the physical, like Saul. But that protection, that matchless protection, comes from God. David had a sling and a staff. You can't go against that guy. Gave him all that he needed. You see, life is supposed to be a struggle. It's the things that change us. I've gone through some major changes because I know that God has a great work for each and every one of us. Let's go to 11th chapter of Hebrews, 6th verse. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Been diligently seeking my God. That Bible study, no matter, I don't have time when I get home from work, I have to go straight over there to teach that class. And yet the Lord always provides what it is that needs to be taught. I can't tell you the amount of people that he puts in my path, whether it's at work or at the gas station or wherever else, that we witness of who he is. Luke, the 12th chapter. Twenty-sixth verse. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. I stop there because I want you to think about that. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, and treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. We all have Goliaths in our lives. And we are supposed to. And they are formidable. But they are able to be overcome. Just like that rock that killed Goliath. I bet you'd never thought about it like that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Tenth chapter, partly way down through the second verse. I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're carnal creatures. Those Goliaths are formidable, but they're not. Because I truly believe my God. And David did also. More and more of those fears I take away. I want you to go back to the 16th chapter of Samuel. First Samuel. It's Second Samuel, I'm sorry. Sixteenth chapter, 11th verse. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, Behold, my son which came forth out of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And this was about Shimei. That David knew that God had put it in his heart to throw stones at him, to curse him, all those things. And David could have had him killed. These men that he had were of great valor. And when you read through here and it explains those things, they were men of war. And this was when Absalom wanted the kingdom. Our weaknesses. But you see, David knew that all things were possible. And through God, I don't think King Saul, he thought that God would change his mind when Samuel told him that the kingdom was taken from him. Because God had called him. You see, coming here today doesn't mean much if you don't put it into practice. Let's go to John, the 10th chapter. And this is, I want to end here. First verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Pray that you know your Lord. Pray that you have that relationship with him. And pray that none of those Goliaths change your life to where you fear. I thank you for your time. I truly do. And I praise my God for the opportunity to come here to give a message. And I know that God is with us. If we but turn to him in all of our dealings, pray that he use you, that you might be instruments in his hands. Thank you.